been a great blessing to just say hello. And prayerfully, it would be a little bit more opportunity than just, hey, my name is, and pray that I can remember names. I'm not the best at it, but I'm so appreciative of the love and the heart of New Heights Baptist Church and this opportunity that Pastor Foster has given me. I do not take that for granted. I ask you to please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, as you turn there, doing some study, I looked at Pew Research, and a study found that 80% of the people polled, asking them their thoughts on the influence, the impact of religion. What is the state of religion? 80% of the people found it waning, losing its impact. But further, 92% of those people saw that that was a bad thing, a terrible tragedy to see where this country was going, is going, of a people who do not know God. The people here in Corinth had a problem that we have a problem here today. The impact that we must have, we should have as Christians, and it's waning, decreasing impact. I work with many people. I work at a secular job. I'm sure many here do as well. Where I talk to people every day and they say, yeah, I know God. Do they go to church? No. I know the Lord. I grew up. I went to Sunday school. Do they bear fruit showing so? No, they do not. We live in a world who claims to be a godly nation, who claims to know God, but nothing could be further from the truth. The people in Corinth, to Paul, who was writing to, claimed to know God, but the fruit that they were bearing was otherwise. They had gross sexual sin going on throughout the church, so much so that the people accepted it. They were okay with it. They rivaled one another about who was important of the apostles. I got saved by Peter. I got saved by Apollos. They had rivalry. They took each other's laundry out to the world to see, suing one another, fighting amongst each other. They lost their impact in the world as a church, as a people, as Christians. Tonight, I invite you, as we look at Paul's writing here, as he talks about the impact you and I as Christians should have, and what that invites us to, being able to speak to people and show them what God has done in our lives. It's such a blessing that we have to know God. I ask you to drop down to verse 17, and we're going to read through verse 24 tonight as we look at the power that God gives us through the Holy Spirit of salvation and the impact that it can be, that it might be. Verse 17 says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised." Verse 19 says, "Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Let us pray. Father, I'm so thankful for this opportunity, and I just pray that you please be with me tonight as I preach your word, that the Holy Spirit might speak to our hearts. Father, that you might bless, that we might see the impact that we have as Christians, that we might go out in this world and share Christ and what Christ has done in us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first point tonight is the call to serve. Who has this opportunity? Who here has a chance to be a servant of Christ? No person is excluded. No person is excluded. We look at verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. I think it's pretty clear. Every man, and we see here, that's man and woman, called as Christians. Every church, whether it's in Grand Prairie or Wiley, every church is called. No person is excluded. This is a universal call, an invitation, better put, an invitation by God to serve Him, to commit their life and serve the Lord. Jesus Christ commissioned every member of a New Testament church. He said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Christian, if you have accepted Christ, this is myself, my family, our church, you, Christian, your family, your church have been called to go out, be used by God, that others might be saved. Amen. Not only that, but to continue, that they might obey Jesus Christ and follow Him in baptism. Amen. And further than that, to teach them, disciple them, Amen. Help them, so then they too can go out, proclaim God's word, see what Jesus Christ is doing in their lives, what He just did. The great blessing of being able to teach our new converts, and to see that fire that they have, the desire to serve God, that should never go away. Amen. We should always have that desire to serve and to share what God has done in our lives. It is a command that we all have. Every Christian, every man, every woman, every child who has accepted Christ to follow on. We as a people have created barriers. Technology, I've been talking to some of the men in the back as we were leading into the sermon tonight, the service. And then they asked me, are you a paper note kind of guy? Or are you a computer kind of guy? I'm a computer kind of guy. You just pray that the was plugged in the night before. You never know, it's good to have a backup. Amen. But technology has been such a blessing for our lives to where we can connect with people like never before. Worldwide, we can speak to people, influence them, connect with them. My wife, Rebecca, she did some missions work when she was younger. Before I had met her, she was in the Philippines, she was in Ghana. She still gets to talk to those people. She gets to hear what's going on in those ministries, even though she's now apart from it. We have a connectivity. We can connect with people like never before. But what has technology really done? but create barriers to where we don't even know our neighbors. Where we have a challenge to where we might not even know the people beyond who sits in front of us and behind us in our own pews. We have barriers today that we create ourselves, and we, myself included, we must push through these barriers if we ever expect to have an impact, if we ever expect people to see what we have in Jesus Christ living in us. Paul says that every person can be an impactful person. Verse 18 says, "And any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised." He follows on with that point in 2 Corinthians, the same people he's writing to, says in chapter 10, verse 13, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you." Paul is saying we don't need to go beyond what God's given us. We can think of all of the things that we can't do when all Paul is saying is just do what God wants you to do. Just do what God has called you to do. We don't need to go beyond that. That which is outside of what God has distributed to us, He has someone else for that. There's something specific, a measure, a distribution that God's given you as a Christian to which He can use you and use you in a way that someone else can't. I can't reach the people in Wiley like you can. Your neighbors are not my neighbors. Your family's not my family. We don't need to go outside what God's given us. With that understanding, we have the great blessing, a peaceful thought, to know that the world is not full of impossibilities. But you, Christian, have a world of possibility in your salvation.
Amen.
Possibility in what Jesus Christ can do in you and through you and the people around you. The salvation we have, the salvation that you have, Christian, is the opportunity to impact. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure greater than any bit of gold, precious stone we could ever find or think to have in this world. We have this precious treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us." It's not us that we're trying to present to the world.
Amen.
We're the vessel, we're the body, but I'm not trying to put myself out there. I'll fail. They'll say, they don't want to be me. I want people to see Christ
Amen.
In me. I want to die to self. And we as Christians must die to self that they see Jesus Christ in us. And that we have as an opportunity to share with others. That is the precious treasure we have in the power of God in our salvation. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Seek Him.
Amen.
Ask Him. Look unto Him and say, "Please give me an opportunity that I might share what you've done in my life." There's so many times in my life where I've read God's Word, I've studied it, and it's just touched my heart, and all I could do was, "Where's my wife? I got to tell her about it. I got to share. I got to tell somebody this blessing." Do you have someone in your life that you can go to? A spouse, family member, a church family member? It goes beyond just knowing God, but just the desire to be saved by God, to want to go out and tell others. Do you ask, do you seek that the Holy Spirit might lead and guide you in that? God lives in you, the creator of all the universe. Think about that. We have beautiful buildings, a beautiful church building. It takes people to make this. It takes work. It takes time. It takes thought to have what we have. Beautiful church building. God created it all like that. We have a Savior in Jesus Christ, so when he comes back and he sets foot in this world, he is going to defeat Satan with his voice. Think about that. His voice. And yet that same God lives in you, lives in me. Are you seeking him? Think of what God can do in you and through you. We take that thought as we look at the inward working of our salvation, our second point tonight. As we look at God's calling, his invitation for the Christian, but also the inward working from salvation. It begins with conviction. As we look at verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Whether it be through the Jewish people, as the Bible says and teaches, and giving the law, or those who, as Gentiles, written on our hearts, we have the same thing. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Jewish people saw, if they rightfully used the law, that they needed God.
Amen.
They could not do it themselves. Many became self-righteous, but the point of it, the point for us, was to bring us to Christ. Those without the law, no excuse. Romans 2:14 and 15 says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written on their hearts. So no matter what the background is, God's word says conviction is going to come when you see the perfect standard of God. The perfect standard that every one of us who proclaims Jesus Christ fell short of. We all here as Christians had a point in our lives where you said, I can't do it on my own. I need Jesus Christ. I need him. And through that, it didn't matter about the background. When I was 7 years old, I grew up in a Christian home. My father was a deacon at Trinity Baptist Church. I've had the great blessing to, I've only been a member of one church my whole life. I know that's not everybody's testimony, but that's mine. At 7 years old, when my old pastor, before Pastor Giordano, when I was a child, he showed me in the Bible, and it was Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. As a seven-year-old, I understood that. I understood that even as a child, I sinned, and there was consequences for that.
Right.
I fell under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and I called unto God to save me. Because I could not do it on my own. Even as a child, I knew that.
Right.
Maybe more than even if I was an adult, I would know I'm weak. I'm just a child. But I wanted to know the Lord.
Amen.
I called unto him, and he saved me. And every day as I've grown, I've failed. I'm not perfect. But I know what God has saved me from. I know what he's done in my life where he saved me, not just my soul, but in the life that I've lived since I was saved. He has blessed me beyond measure. Think about your own salvation. Remember your conversion. We're all different, yes, but what were you saved out of? Maybe you were a little older in your life. Maybe, as some people call it, you had some skeletons in your closet. It doesn't matter what it was. It was that if you're a Christian tonight here, you knew you needed Jesus Christ. We all needed him. We all fall short. God will not save us, will not save until a person humbly comes to him and says, God, I need you. I need you. We have a pride problem in our country as a people. We look for career. That doesn't last a lifetime at all. Careers end. We seek power over others. It never satisfies. Families are wonderful, but they change. If we focus just on being parents, one day they're going to be gone. They're going to go start their own lives. That is not what we must focus on, firstly and primarily as Christians. It's to understand what God has done in our lives as Christians in saving us. And that is what our message is. That is what we want people to see in us. I pray that God sees a good parent when someone sees you. I pray someone sees a hard worker when they see you. But before any of that, I pray that they see a good Christian, a follower of Christ, first and foremost. All those other things will come when we first follow Christ and be that what people see in our lives. Remember the struggle and the heartache you might have had before your salvation. Maybe you had times where you were sitting in bed just wondering, what does this world have for me? What's out there? What is beyond this life? What is this life? Worry and fear. This world knows how to put out worry and fear. But we have joy and peace.
Amen.
Joy and peace. Remember what God saved you from. And remember what matters in your testimony. Some things that don't matter. Circumcision, uncircumcision, that's not what matters. It's the commandments of God.
Amen.
It's what saved us. It's what convicted us to live for him. We should be seeking to further the cause of Christ. That is the opportunity that we have in our salvation. The influence that you can have, New Heights Baptist Church, as Christians, is your testimony. What God has saved you from. Be ready to speak about yourself. Don't put up barriers. Don't be afraid of your neighbor. Understand we're different, but know where they're at and where you were and where you're at now. Do you want them to be where you're at now as a Christian? Then those barriers will fall. And you will begin to be speaking to people about what Christ Jesus has done in your life.
Amen.
Speak about yourself. Look for the opportunity. Seek in others that you might relate through their testimony, that you might be able to sit down next to them and look in their eyes and say, I know where you're at. I know how you feel. Let me show you what God has done in my life.
Amen.
Let me show how Christ has got me out of that sin. Let me show you in God's Word where God grew my faith, that I trusted in him through my trials. And I pray that maybe he can help you through your trial. We all are called, are invited to proclaim Christ. And it's through our testimony, our third point tonight, is the outward outcome of salvation, the outward expectation we have in Christ, what God wants of you and I. There is a choice to be made. Verse 20, let every man, every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. We've talked about calling, this invitation. There's a choice we had to make. Choice to serve. Having the right choice. There's a lot of wrong choices you and I can make, I can tell you that. But the right choice to serve the Lord, that influence is authentic. It's real. People understand when we relate to them. We're all people. And when you are authentic, when you just speak to them, person to person, they see another man, another woman. We can relate to one another. The right choice, a choice to make, makes this influence authentic. But we must know what we were delivered from the power and the penalty of sin. Your sin, not just one time, the sin of all your life, past, present, future, has been forgiven. Amen. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west. I don't know my direction, so I'm not going to try it, especially with the circular room here. As east is from the west, it is gone, your sin.
Amen.
You no longer, as a Christian, are living a condemned life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We can live a life not anymore under a condemnation, under judgment. Wrath, as John chapter 3 says, the wrath of God no longer abides on us. I can't tell you if I ever felt it, but there is some relief in the peace of God. That wrath of God, we might not actually feel that physically as people, but I certainly can feel the relief and the peace of the Holy Spirit in me. Of Jesus Christ helping me when I need it, lifting me up when I fall down. Do you live like you've been set free from bondage and sin? Do you live? Do people see you as a person no longer bound by the chains of the devil? Do people see that in your life? Your effectiveness, your impact. It matters in how you see what God has done in your life. Do you accept that, what God has done? The work was done on the cross. It's not about what we're doing here. It's about surrendering and putting our faith in Christ and what He did. But do people see that? Have you made that choice? Not just in salvation. That's the first right choice. And I might say that is a good choice to make. Accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, as your Savior. But it goes beyond that. Just as Jesus Christ commanded us in the end of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, it's not just we're to go see that people get saved. There's more. It's not just that we see that people who are saved follow Christ in baptism. It's more. But we teach, we preach. It should never end. Every day it's a choice. We can't say, well, about 10 years ago, I made a choice that I would follow Christ, and that's the only choice I need to make. Every day when we wake up, it is a choice if we are going to serve God today. It's not just about, well, maybe tomorrow. God blessed last week. I guess I can coast for the next month. Every day we have a choice to make. The effectiveness of this calling we have matters on our choice. You accepted Christ. He delivered you. And every day is a choice. Because brother and sister, no one here is free from having that spiritual rut. A wandering soul is a directionless soul. I had that myself. I'm 34 now. Maybe I don't look it. That's why I grow. No. I'm 34 now, in my 20s. I have a decade of my life, or you know, a little less than that, to where I was directionless. I did not know what God wanted of me. And frankly, I felt useless as a Christian. It's a tragedy for any Christian to live their life thinking that they have no use of God. An outright tragedy. God got a hold of my life. He put direction back in my life. And praise to Him and the men that God has used to where God has called me to be a pastor. But it took a choice. The spiritual rut can keep you, as it kept me, from seeing that there was purpose in getting saved.
Amen.
There was purpose in why God saved you. It gives you direction, but only when you make a choice to serve. Only a fool, I don't say this lightly, only a fool would believe that God would do something for no reason. We live in a world God created. There was purpose behind His creation. It's for His glory. We have many people who try to ruin it, but even in a sin-filled world, we are in a beautiful creation of God. Just go outside, and I dare you to not give glory to God when you see His creation. He created the universe for His glory, purpose. He sent Jesus Christ to die for the sins of this world. There was purpose in why Jesus Christ came. There's a reason He came here. And there's a reason why He saved you. He saved you to be a light, to be an ambassador for Christ.
Amen.
That's 2 Corinthians 5:20. A representative. We're here on His behalf. He went up to heaven. He says, while I'm here, I'm counting on you, Christian. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and I'm counting on you to do my work for me.
Amen.
Know your calling. Stay there. Abide. That's talking about contentment. That's not an easy word to accept sometimes, contentment. But Christian, when you're content in Christ, not in yourself, in Christ, that's when we can start raising our head up to which we can see the needs of others. We have our heads down. I know, I'm with you. It's easy to know, to just get focused on me, get focused on what's going on with us, our family. But when we are content in Christ, we can put our heads up. What do others need? And the first thing is, who needs Christ? Who can I tell others about Christ? We must be content, be willing, not just to do nothing in place. That's not what Paul is saying here, to abide, to know the calling that God has given. But to abide, be where God has called you to be and work, serve. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So whether it's Texas, Arkansas,
amen,
Tennessee, my wife's from Arkansas, I should have stopped right there. I've grown to learn to not be so prideful about my state. As a Texan, I can't help it. It's in my blood. Maybe it's in someone else's blood here if you're a Texan, but marrying my wife, the Lord has used her to humble me with my beginnings in Texas. Where it's like, maybe it's not the only greatest state or the greatest place. But no matter where we're at, physically, spiritually, we must be content with what God has for us. Is that your expectation? Have you accepted that calling that God has distributed to you? Or are you still fighting that? Not content, not satisfied with what God has given you. I urge you, please, Christian, do not let a false expectation diminish the impact you can have in this world. I pray that God answers the desires you have in your heart. But in that, we must be willing to accept what God has given us financially, our health, the family we're born into.
Right.
Some things we can't control.
Right.
But what we can control is if we're content with it or not.
Amen.
If we are satisfied in Jesus Christ, where anything else in this world will never satisfy. It is a choice, Christian. Every man, every woman, every child must make to be satisfied, content in Christ. Let your circumstance be used for another person's benefit.
Amen.
Don't think about what God can take you out of, but what God has for you and what you're at, where you're at today. Simply, be like Christ.
Amen.
For God so loved the world. Do you love the world? Jesus Christ looked at the multitude with compassion. Where's your compassion? Do you have it? I ask myself that so many times, so often. Living in the Metroplex, we get in our cars, we're just surrounded by people. You're surrounded by people. And what's on our mind? I got to get home. Just think about us. I think so many times of how many souls are around me, how many people who need Christ.
Amen.
Do you have compassion? As a Christian, by profession, you have been saved. You have been delivered from your sins. Are you seeking that others might too be delivered from theirs? Are you living as God, as Jesus Christ lived? Do you have those same desires? Seek the Lord and be content. Look for opportunity. Make the right choice.
Amen.
To serve God. We see salvation. As we look at our salvation, it has freed us from bondage. I invite you to verse 23. You are bought with a price. That price is the blood of Christ. Precious, precious blood of Christ. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Paul is imploring the people in Corinth. God saved you. Don't live like the people in Corinth. Live like Christ, the one who bought you out of salvation. He paid for your freedom by his death, the most undeserving thing we could ever imagine was the death of God in the flesh. And yet he did that. He shed his blood for you, for me. And I don't know about you, but I am a nobody. And to think that Jesus Christ, the creator of all the world, died for me, I cannot put it in words. All I can do is live for him.
Amen.
Is that too much to ask? To live, to commit for the one who thought of you,
Amen.
Who thought of me on the cross? We have been freed from sin's bondage. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You, Christian, have been shown the light of God.
Amen.
You've been shown something that the world has never seen. The truth of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. So why walk in darkness? Why walk like the world? All that does is show the world that they do not need Christ. Because they live just like you if you live like the world. What gives them any desire to know Jesus Christ? It is only when we show that we are outside. Yes, we live in this world, but we do not live for this world. We live for the Creator of the world in Jesus Christ. So whenever people see Him in us, then they have reason. Then they see, only by God's grace, that light begins to shine. And this dark, dark world gets a little bit brighter. And I pray that light is shining in you. Remember, in the world, free from bondage by the light of God, you're different. You are independent in your salvation from the bondage of sin. Yes, we struggle. Those things aren't going to go away. We are promised trials and tribulation, persecution if we live for Christ. But in that, Paul says, we are free in our salvation. There are circumstances here in Corinth. There were people who did not have freedom in their life. They were servants themselves. A portion of Scripture that many people are afraid to talk about in today's world is they accuse Christians of being for slavery. We don't need to get into that. We just need to know that slave or not slave, Paul says you need to live for Christ. Free or not free today from sin, we're not under that bondage anymore.
Right.
We need to live for Christ.
Amen.
God will provide. God is faithful. As I close tonight, our power by the Holy Spirit, God living in us in our salvation, allows an impact, a possibility to impact people around us. That a dark world, a dark nation, who expects the influence to keep going down, are you willing to turn that around and see a nation that knows God, a people who truly knows the Lord? And it starts with you, Christian. It starts with New Heights Baptist Church, Wiley, Texas. It starts with me. It starts with Trinity Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. To live accepting the invitation of Jesus Christ, who saved us and now has called us to serve.
Amen.
Who's called us to be an influence. By God's grace, people will see. Pastor Foster.